Wilson and Patty's Playhouse, and this is the Playhouse After Party.
Uh-oh.
We're just going to podcast it today. This is not for the FCC.
NSFW family. And if you don't know what that means, go look it up.
This is just Angus and Patty for 44 minutes.
Scary.
It'll be fun.
I don't know what we're going to get into.
We have no rules.
No rules.
Because this is our first straight podcast. No rules.
They have gay podcasts?
Straight. Is it Strix? Is it really anything?
I don't think so.
It's all Strix now.
Strix. It's Mix.
Sorry, that is ridiculous.
Strix.
As libertarian as I am, Gakes. That is ridiculous. I'm not changing my pronouns.
No, no.
To make someone else feel better.
I will not.
I'm not either.
I will not. What kind of junk you got in your trunk? That's what I'm going to call you.
Your bathing suit area. My swimsuit. I was watching, what's that movie? Will Ferrell and Daddy's Home.
Oh, that's a good
it
movie.
It was one. And she, he kicked me Will in Ferrell my play suit, best. My swimsuit area.
I love Will Ferrell.
I do too.
I love Will Ferrell
and Norm MacDonald.
Oh, I love Norm MacDonald
too. I love Norm MacDonald.
Have you seen, and I'm sure you have, and you know my deep knowledge of old SNL skits with Norm MacDonald.
I love Norm MacDonald.
When he does the Jeopardy, Celebrity Jeopardy, when he's, what's his face? What's the name of the character that he's playing? Oh, that is so tough. It's the guy from FSU. It's the guy from FSU. What's his name? Oh my gosh.
Bobby?
No.
Dion?
No. They have like an apartment building named after him. It's Norm MacDonald.
Oh, Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds. He plays Burt Reynolds. And he's like sitting there. And there's like a
I'm looking it up
There's
now.
Like a category that's like.
I love
a petit déjeuner. Like that's like what the.
Oh, yeah. It was Sean. And he's like. When the other guy was Sean. Oh, my God.
I'll take 8 tits for 400.
Like, hilarious. What?
No, that is a petit déjeuner. And then you have, obviously.
That's when SNL was funny.
Sean Connery. Your mother, Trebek.
Remember that? I like the old Phil Hartman episodes,
I know.
Period.
I mean, they were.
Blew his head off.
I mean, literally less than 20 years ago, they were dropping the N-word on SNL on a regular basis.
Now it's all anti-Trump. It's so. Like, it's just over.
Donald.
Okay, this is my theory. You cannot just attempt to entertain 1% of half of the population.
You can't. You'll never be able to fully get the not only the viewership, the monetary gain, any of that. You can't just cater to one.
I don't know if Michael
Jordan
really said it, but he did say Republicans buy sneakers too.
They do.
I mean.
No, most definitely. And I think that's something that people have kind of lost touch of. You know, I'm all good with watching some jokes bashing Donald Trump, but.
Well, some of them are funny.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
But be funny.
Yeah, they are hilarious a lot of times.
You got to be funny.
I mean, Donald Trump.
But the Cheeto thing, you know, move on.
Donald Trump just like a person within himself has so many cringeworthy moments that you're like, oh, come on.
You
got to make a skit out of
it's
this.
It's pure entertainment.
It's amazing.
But we still have an amazing GDP right now.
Oh,
an amazing. And I don't believe the stock market is a bubble. I believe CNBC says it's a bubble. But I don't believe we're on a bubble. Not right now.
I
think we're getting new growth. And companies are coming back to the
United
States.
I believe we are getting new growth, but I do believe that the rate in which the stock market specifically has recovered since the Great Recession, I think it's been too quick. I think it's been too much value has been added to it where it actually doesn't exist.
As long as interest rates are so low,
right.
That is correct.
Well, that's true. That is
true. Because it's all false.
But Trump has named a new head of the Fed.
I know, but that he was a Yellen fan, so we'll see.
I am a Yellen fan, actually. I am a Yellen fan. Do you like Janet?
I don't know enough about it. The Federal Reserve is so artificial.
It is. I wish it was never created.
And there was a book. You know, it used. I think it was called Jekyll something, where the Federal Reserve was really created. And I have the book. I've never sat down to read it because it's like 1,200 pages. It fascinates me.
No, it definitely is.
The whole
is.
Jekyll Island thing fascinates me off the coast of Georgia. It's still owned by Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the Federal Reserve was developed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, we're
it's very artificial.
We are moving in the right direction as a country, as an economy. I mean, just look at
Turd Ferguson.
Turd Ferguson.
Norm MacDonald.
Yes, so good. So
but Yellen is a joke in and of herself just because she doesn't. The Federal Reserve is not part of our government.
No.
And that's what people don't realize. They are not part of the government,
they are a private entity.
It is. And it's, so that's bizarrely
no, it is very weird how you have, you know, a pseudo private entity dictating not only interest rates, but also just fiscal and monetary decisions.
Well, it's just like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Right? It's the same thing. You know, yeah. I'm a real estate agent and an appraiser and a radio show host, oh. Right? And a podcaster.
Podcast.
On iTunes at Patty with a Y apostrophe S Playhouse. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are also not really part of the government, but are part of the government.
Well, now they are. Now they are.
I mean, it's, they still would say they're not.
No, I know. But I do not like, you know, and I feel like in some way, shape, or form, the moves that the U.S. government made in relation to the real estate crash in 2008 and 2009 in that era, I think they were necessary. Mm-hmm. I wish it would never have gotten to the point in which they felt like they had to come in and do that. Because, I mean, in reality, if the U.S. government wouldn't have bailed out those big banks,
Lehman,
you know, those big mortgage lenders and whatnot, it would have had even worse implications for our future as a nation, our future as an economy. We would not even be close.
I just think there's so much that we don't know.
Oh, yes.
That goes on behind the scenes.
We can sit here and speculate all day long.
It's so weird.
In reality, unless you're actually in it, you don't really know.
I don't want to be in it. Hey, did you see? Okay, so this is a podcast. This is only podcast, and we're just kind of riff. And Angus is going to start asking me questions, but there was an article, and I didn't read the article. I'm a headline girl. I read Drudge, like, every 15 minutes. And it was Menendez's juror. So, wants to know...
What is a senator? Are you serious?
So, I may not know everything about the Federal Reserve, but
she
didn't know.
At least you know what a damn senator is.
And that's supposed to be a jury of his peers.
Right? Unbelievable. I mean, that is... If you needed any better example of just how out of touch, how uneducated
the civil society is,
look at it right there. I mean, you don't even know.
And I'm grateful that Ed Gillespie did not win in Virginia.
Why?
Because he's just part of that whole same swamp.
Yeah, no.
And they need to lose to get out.
Well, look what happened to him. We've seen time and time again in the special elections since President Trump took office, the candidates who embrace the message that Trump is trying to purvey, the candidates who are willing to put themselves out there in a more populist, in a more nationalistic, in a more America first kind of way, and move away from your traditionalists and the GOP and the establishment, those are the candidates who are winning. And we've seen Ed Gillespie over the last couple of months just continue lambasting President Trump until 2 or 3 weeks out of the actual election itself, and then he decides to jump on the...
Did you say hump?
I did say hump. It was a slip of the tongue. But he decides to jump on the Trump bandwagon. It was just too little too late.
Well, he's a pussy.
Oh, say it louder for the people in the back.
I don't have time for Ed Gillespie. I don't have time for it.
Meow.
I don't have time for any of that wishy-washy Republican.
Ain't got time.
Like the Bushes. Oh, no.
I am done with you.
Done.
George H.W.
Oh, they were never really Republicans.
No.
They're
part of the global elite.
They're not conservative.
No.
They're just carrying an R. It's just like I'm going to go back to Bobby Bowden. Bobby Bowden chose to be in the ACC because he knew that was a way to win a national championship.
Damn straight.
But Bush knew he couldn't be a Democrat and win it. And win presidency.
Right.
So he had to go the Republican route. It's a strategy.
It is.
It's not a lifestyle.
No.
It's not a mantra. It's a strategy.
Yeah.
They know how to go in and get the votes.
Yeah.
In what location and how
and
to do it.
Ultimately, that's what the goal is.
And that's
is.
What the goal is. So it doesn't matter if it's an R or D. They know what they have to do it.
And I think that's being highlighted now even more than ever, is that we're actually as... consumers of news, as citizens who are a part of, the democratic process that we have in electing our representatives, I think that we as citizens are now starting to sift through the political BS. I think that we are now more easily available and more easily, I don't know what the word I'm thinking of here, but it's a lot easier done now to identify someone who is a rhino, to identify someone who is actually...
If you stick Donald Trump's plan with a Bernie Sanders sticker on it, people love it.
I know.
Because they don't know how to read.
No, they don't. They don't.
They refuse to read.
Well, they take everything as the gospel from
and,
the mainstream
and social
media
shame.
And
everything is like, I'm going to shame you. I'm going to shame you for buying a dog that's... fully bred, or I'm going to shame you for putting a laugh thing next to something where you don't. Are you high?
Like, bitch, please.
Are you high? What? Why do you have to media shame? Like, literally, just drives. That's the part of social media that's kind of disturbing, that it gets the most advertising.
Yeah.
Or get the most
click,
media.
Click, 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 clickbait.
Clickbait. Trump.
Trump.
I'm a pro Trump. He's a developer. I don't care. I sell houses. Ugh. That's how I do this.
Who
selling
are you?
Houses. I'm Patty Wilson and Patty's Playhouse.
We'll be right back.
At Patty's Playhouse. Patty Wilson, and this is Patty's Playhouse, and we're podcasting it today.
Podcast.
Just to get a feel of what an after party would sound like with just Angus and I. Basically, the Playhouse was built because John Joplin, executive of the show, is like, let's call it Patty's Playhouse, and I was very nervous. And it's become a thing.
It's amazing.
It's fun.
It's so fun.
What I love most about it that Angus called it is a no judgment.
It is a no judgment zone.
It's a no judgment. So he corrected one of our guests once. This is a no judgment zone.
Oh, yeah.
And we could say what we want.
Oh, yeah.
And Patty doesn't judge.
You bet your bottom dollar.
I do not judge.
No, no.
I don't.
There's
I have
no
an
room.
Opinion.
Of course.
But I don't judge.
Look.
But the whole goal is to have fun, have some information, learn about Tallahassee, learn what it's like to live in the South, learn what it's like to live in a place where you weren't born.
Right.
And you've had to adapt.
Yes, we both have had that experience.
Yeah, we both are carpetbaggers,
yes,
kind of, in a way.
Even though I was born in Florida, or actually I was not born in Florida, but I grew up in Florida, and then, you know, you were born in Pennsylvania.
I was born in Pennsylvania.
We both
very Yankee.
We both have, at a, you know, a crossroads in our lives, met each other in the
and
capital
I'm 29
city.
29 years older than you.
What?
I know.
I thought you were 26.
I'm 29 years older than you. So the Playhouse is based on that. It's just to give information about Tallahassee in a twisted way.
Yes.
It is twisted. So we have fun. We have fun with music. We have fun with the character of Patty. But I am who I am.
You are who you are.
Who I am in here is who I am on the street.
It's actually true.
I try to be very helpful, probably too helpful sometimes, answer questions, engage, try to teach people something.
And I think that
in my day,
something that I love about this program as well is the myriad of different guests that you are able to bring on each week. I mean, there's people from, you know, we had Ron Byram on, and he is in the mortgage industry. You had Terry the Bug Guy. He's been on the show.
We're going to have Kez McCorvey coming up.
Kez.
We're getting some sports figures.
Awesome.
I'm working on it. I'm going to have a pastor on, Michael Smith, who's very famous here in Tallahassee. Very dynamic. And he's a property appraiser. He actually worked for us.
Oh, really?
So it's just to get Socially Loved is coming on. They have that great book that highlights the small businesses. So we're going to be in that. So I invited her on. Just people who care about where they work and want it to be a better place. That's what Patty's Playhouse is about. So I hope you enjoy it.
I hope you do too.
I do too. And now we're on iTunes.
Don't call me though if you don't enjoy it.
Well, you can call me because we always want to be better.
What's your number?
850-656-0009.
What a segue.
Isn't it? Good segue. I like learning the segues.
You ever been on a segue?
No. Oh, can you imagine?
I have been on a segue. But they're very, very adjustable.
They are.
They're a lot of fun.
So what we're going to do now is Angus is going to ask me questions because we don't ever have time on a regular
radio show.
We always have a guest or some important topic I want to talk about in real estate.
So as we delve into who really is Patricia Wilson, who is Patty Wilson, where are you from?
I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania.
How long did you live there for?
I lived there full time until 1985, and then I joined the Air Force Reserve, and then I went to Philly.
Gotcha.
For a year and a half, and then went back to Harrisburg, and I moved here.
You've been all
moved
over
to
the
Florida
place.
In 2000. Now, just there.
Just there.
Moved to Florida in 2000. I followed my mommy and daddy,
Aww.
Who moved in I think 98 or 99, and lived in Daytona for a year. And then my ex-husband moved me to Tallahassee, and that's when he became my ex-husband.
There you
Dude,
go.
I was like, there is no water in Tallahassee. Get me out.
I know. It is very different.
And he left because I divorced him.
And you stayed.
And I'm here.
Wow.
My ex-husband.
What a story.
Went back to Pennsylvania. My current husband's a property appraiser, so we're here.
Yes. So what is the name of the elementary school that you attended?
My elementary school is Holy Name of Jesus.
Holy Catholic Name girl. Of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That is the name of the school?
Yeah.
I
went from 1 to 8. So I'm a Catholic girl. I went to 12 years of Catholic school, and it's Holy Name of Jesus. And it's an amazing school. It was amazing because most Catholic schools, people think it was one of a kind. Free tuition.
Oh.
We had an ice skating rink.
An ice skating rink?
They had bingo with full liquor bar.
At the Catholic school?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
That money was Father Mahoney.
He's
passed away. But that money was the money utilized to pay the kids' tuition.
He did not want anyone
to not have a private school education.
Because they couldn't afford it. Very cool.
So it was a great mix of children. It was very integrated. When a time in the 70s, there wasn't a lot of suburban Pennsylvania. But he gave away hundreds and hundreds of meals at Thanksgiving. It was a very giving school. And it was, there's a lot of, very famous people came out of that school. So
you had just said that you went to Catholic school all throughout.
12 years. Then I went to Bishop McDevitt High School, which is, I go to sports because that's my anchor is sports. That's
so what
I
sports
know.
Did you play?
I played basketball and I was a walk-on at Temple.
What position?
I was a forward.
Forward?
I was a short forward. Interesting. That's why I was a walk-on at Temple.
Did you have a good shot?
I had a great free throw and a great bounce pass, and I believe that is the key to.
Oh yeah, everything else you can work at.
I'm 5'9", and I was never fast, ever. I've got big, lanky legs that just don't want to move, and they still don't want to move. Right. I didn't have enough desire. But basketball, sports was really important all through my education. I went to my high school, graduated Ricky Waters, who's a year behind me.
Okay.
Who played for, I think, Kansas City Chiefs.
I believe so.
Went to Notre Dame.
Yep.
LeSean McCoy, who's now at the Buffalo.
Oh, really? Yeah. LeSean. Shady. Yeah. Shady McCoy.
Yeah, so there was quite a few. Carmen Finestra went to my high school, who was a producer for the original Cosby Show. And what was it? Tim the Toolman?
Tim Allen.
He did that. Carmen Finestra. We had a lot of famous people. A guy owns several $1 million worth of hospitals.
Wow.
So it was a private Catholic school in the city limits of Harrisburg. Again, very integrated, very urban. And that is how I see myself.
Very unique.
It was a unique experience because the city high school was across the street.
Okay.
They were catty-corning to each other. So we didn't have to wear uniforms because if we did, then we would have stuck out and there was fights. But yeah, it was a very unique experience, and I'm very appreciative of that 12 years that my parents gave me.
So, as you mentioned, from that high school, you moved on to Temple.
I did for 1 year. Well, I went to the Air Force Reserves, so I joined the service.
Straight out of high school.
Went in. I signed up in June, went to basic in September, graduated in December, then went on to tech school, which I became an aircraft electrician on C-130s, which I am very proud of.
C-130s are amazing feats of human ingenuity.
They're 1967, 66, 65.
They're huge.
That's a C-5 and C-1, but the C-130's got a big belly.
Right, right. So it does look a lot bigger.
It's smaller of the, and it's a prop plane.
Yes,
it
is. It is. I am always blown away at the sheer fact that we as human beings, or the individuals who were able to scientifically dissect and create the ability for us to fly, they're able to get these massive
with
belly. When I fly to Australia, I go to Australia probably every 2-3 years.
And why do you go to Australia?
Because my family is there.
Right.
Yes.
How cool is that?
It is very cool.
Are you going to take me?
I won't.
I mean, how much is a ticket? $15,000?
No, running about $2,000.
That's to go anywhere.
Yeah, so it's not, it's not prohibitively expensive, but
you're going in December. Yeah.
I am. Yes, I'm going to visit my family for my dad's 50th birthday.
So he lives there?
No, he actually, being a small business owner for basically the majority of my life. He owned a dry cleaning business in Sarasota where I was, you know, where I was raised, where I grew up. My stepmom and himself, they just sold their dry cleaning business.
Very cool.
This past spring. So they've spent the whole summer doing a road trip across the United States. And then they actually went the 22nd of October. They started their trip, their international side of their, you know, relaxation tour. So they went to Fiji for 10 days.
Sucks.
How cool is that, huh?
That really is horrible.
Fiji for 10 days, and they just landed in Australia on Tuesday, so they'll be there till the beginning of February, and my sister and I are going to fly over in December.
Your sister Matilda.
Matilda.
I love that.
Waltzing Matilda. That's what it's about.
I love that.
Yes, it is very cool.
But you haven't flown to Australia until you've flown on a C-130 in a jump seat.
Yeah.
It is very uncomfortable.
I'm sure it is. Well, I mean, look, Patty, you know, I'm a big guy. Big guy.
Uh-huh. Those I'm a big girl.
Those seats in economy?
Pissing in a tube?
Oof.
Try me.
It's small.
So when you're the only female on a plane, mm-hmm. a C-130 full of guys, they only have a tube.
A tube?
It's a tube. It's like if you took an ink pen apart, that's about how big it is.
Oh, wow.
So a guy can piss in a tube.
That's messy.
Girl can't piss in a
that's
tube.
That's messy.
So you have to create ways to piss in the tube.
Like a little funnel?
Yeah, kind of like that. A little
funnel for the pee.
But I was on the C-130, then I went to Temple. I was going to be an engineer because I'd been an electrician on C-130, so I thought it translated. It does not. That math is more than I can handle. So I came back home. Went back to Harrisburg.
So on the other side of the break, we're going to find out who really is that lady. Oh, Lord. We have way too much fun, Patty.
We do.
It's
a good time.
We'll be right back.
She take my money. Well, I'm in need. Yes, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town. That digs on me. She killed me, mom.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I just love me some Jamie Foxx. Isn't he hot?
I guess.
He can sing, man. Guess. Oh, he's just so funny. And I just remember him from his show. What was that show called? Oh my God, when Jamie Foxx was first on TV,
it
was like
an
SL thing. Oh my goodness, how do you not know? Oh my goodness, TV show, I gotta look it up. So we're just doing a straight up podcast, so there's no FCC. You know his real name is Eric Marlon Bishop? I had no idea. So he was on that show. Remember when he played that lady with the bad hair? And oh my
God. Played a lady, huh?
You don't know any of this?
I don't.
Oh,
probably before I was even born.
This is wrong. I gotta look it up. But this is a great song. And then I had to pay. If you fucking with this girl, then you gotta get paid. You know why?
Take too much to touch her. From what I love this song, Patty.
On Any Given Sunday. It is a great song.
I still love her.
She's a gold digger. I ain't seen no broke.
You can't be singing the clean version.
I know.
Come on.
Oh, come on. What was the name of that show? It was like a Mad TV thing.
Mad TV. I do not know. I apologize.
Well, you keep talking to me while I look it up.
Well, Patty, where would you like to go from here?
We've
dissected
about
the childhood years of one Patricia
goodness.
Wilson.
Get over here. Oh, In Living Color.
I have Living heard Color. Of it. I've never seen
that,
it.
Oh.
I have heard.
Well, that's with Jim Carrey. And
oh, I love Jim Carrey.
You never knew? Oh,
that was
my
a TV
goodness.
Show?
Are you serious?
Wow.
And
I suck. I'm the worst.
No. That's where Jennifer Lopez she was a dance.
Jennifer Lopez.
She was a dancer in the background.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Didn't know
that. It was very cool.
Learning something new.
David Allen. Oh, yeah, there's a body. It was the brothers. David Allen. Their brother, David Allen, what's his name? The brother, Keenan Ivory Wayans is the one who created it.
Interesting.
And it's called In Living Color.
Very
Jim
cool.
Jim Carrey got a start. Jamie Foxx got a start. I'm a lot older than you. it's a challenge for me. Having the show and then watching you go, I don't know what
say
that is.
What? Girl,
I don't know what
you
that
say?
Is. That is, buddy.
Are you tripping?
So
girl.
Jamie Foxx has been with Katie Holmes for a very long time, but part of her marital
agreement,
divorce agreement with Tom Cruise was that she wasn't, which is ridiculous.
Well, Tom Cruise is ridiculous.
She wasn't supposed to make any of her relationships public.
Scientology, y'all.
I don't even know what that. Have you ever been down to Clearwater in that? With a Scientologist?
Oh, yeah.
Some scary shite.
It is scary. Most definitely. So, back to you.
Yep.
Back to you.
What about? Just let go. So, the reason why I wanted to do the show was to create a social footprint because I'm not here. I'm not from Tallahassee. I don't have deep-rooted connections in Tallahassee. And I thought, what a great way to be able to get information out to our customers. Who are you looking at?
Craig Maher.
Junior.
Craig Maher Junior.
Cupid doll. What a great way to get our information out about how we sell houses and how we're different in a radio. And then have the podcast. And then I put the podcast on iTunes. So that's been fun, and it's been a technological challenge for me that I worked through.
But you've handled it so well. I mean, I think that's something that I've always admired about you is that, you know, you're not old, but you have been growing up and all of these, you know, technological advances have been materializing throughout your life. So it's really been...
I give that back to my grade school where we had computers.
Very cool.
And they were donated. One thing Father Mahoney could do is
sell. Was pull a donation,
he could freaking get a donation. He would get cars from... I used to sell cars, so Hartman Toyota. He would get cars from the dealership and fill them with food and raffle them off.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was amazing. So we would have the Radio Shack 2000. So I learned how to write a little bit of code when you could.
Right.
I learned how to think, have critical thinking, which kids don't get now.
Right.
And I do attribute it back to... Mr. Phillips, who taught me the computer.
Very
so
cool.
It teaches me, I figure everything is the same.
Right.
It's just, where do I click?
Right.
Mm. And once you learn WordPress with my website, now it's still rudimentary looking.
Yes.
But it's functions.
Yes.
So I can have someone else come in and make it real pretty afterwards. Right, right. And I look at other people's things and I want to change it. But overall, I've done all of this myself.
Well, look, I mean, I had the fortunate, or some people would characterize it as unfortunate, but, you know, growing up, it was everything. It was in front of me always, you know, I mean, from kindergarten, we had computers, we had interactive video stuff that we worked with and all this other stuff. So it's second nature to me, but it's very rare, at least in my experience, to see someone of your generation, of your age and experience, go out there and seek this new information, go out there and seek and find innovative stuff, because that honestly sets you apart from the pack.
It does set me apart from the pack, and I'm a problem solver. I like puzzles, and I like to figure things out, and that's what also sets me apart. A lot of agents, real estate agents and salespeople, want to be order takers. They just want to be able to have the buyer come in and not figure out their life. My goal is to figure out what kind of life do you want? How's the house going to function around your life?
Right, right. And that was and I think that's one of the reasons why we connected so well initially when we first, started our friendship and our working relationship, was just because my mother, as a lot of people know, she's a realtor,
Kimberly
as well.
McDonald.
And she takes a very, very similar approach to the way that she works with her clients, in the sense that you just said, she wants to know what makes you tick. She wants to know what you enjoy doing.
I can
in your
sell
free time.
Anybody any house.
Right, right.
I sold timeshare, for God's sakes.
But what's the point?
I can sell something in an hour.
Point?
But if you're not happy there, what difference does it make?
Exactly.
Or if that house isn't structurally sound. Or if I see something, I believe my first role is to deal honestly and fairly.
Mm-hmm.
So I must.
Yeah.
And if that means I don't get to sell you a house tomorrow, then I don't get to sell you a house tomorrow.
Most definitely.
If I'm broke like Chuck, I'm going to be broke.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to deal honestly and fairly no matter what.
Well, and I think that's an amazing way to approach situations, because at the end of the day, you know, you're going to get a lot more out of it in terms of the, you know, your self respect, your self-image, you're conscious.
And I know that I can walk down the street of a city that is not my home and not be embarrassed that I put someone in a home that they don't like, or that's falling down around them, or that I feel like, as a commissioned salesperson, a lot of people are afraid. Our license is a real estate sales associate. So we're a salesperson. We work off commission. We have an inherent interest in you closing the loan. And I appreciate that. And I make good money off of that. and I put it back into what I can. However, I must be able to live with myself. And even when I sold timeshare, I could live with myself. If I didn't feel like it was for them, we just pushed them through.
Right, right.
So timeshare was, you know, taught me sales, and real estate taught me character.
Most definitely. And I think it's very funny too, because my mother and yourself are very similar in the sense that, you know, when you work with these people, when you work with your clients, whether you be selling their home or buying.
You be 40.
You be done. So, you know, whether it be, selling their home or looking to help them purchase a home, you developed lasting friendships. You develop lasting relationships out of that interaction. And, you know, I find it hilarious all the time. My mom's just like, oh, I'm going out to dinner with this lady I sold a house to. I'm going out to dinner with that lady I sold a house to. And I see that within you as well, where even after that transaction is finalized, even after those people have sold their home or have bought their dream home that you've been able to work with them on, they're still hanging out with you. They're still your friends.
I'm going to use it as FSU as a very small metaphor. You don't really know that you're on the right path until you look behind. Mm. And it's a hard thing to do. I have an office with a couple agents. And when you're working with newer agents, you're constantly having to guide them in a way that teaches them sales and teaches them how to make a living. And some days are good and some days are bad. Well, yesterday was not a good day for Patty, as that the team leader was not a good day. But we're walking into the Tallahassee Quarterbacks Club, and I had a customer call, and when they call me in the evening, I'm kind of like always bracing. Like, is everything going to be okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm a Yankee. I lean toward the negative. And he called me. He's like, I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Because what I was helping him with was not the house. I was helping him with something outside. Mm-hmm. And he's just, thank you. First, you're the only person who called me back. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you're the only person who answers my questions within 3 minutes, which I do.
Right.
Second of all, what are y'all looking at?
I'm sorry.
I just keep going. Are you guys putting up the, thank God, no more echoes. And he said, thank you. And it just meant so much. And I told him, I'm like, thank you. I mean, that to me, I always talk to the Holy Spirit. Thank you for telling me today.
Yeah.
But it made, even though what is around me may be chaotic.
Right.
And people may disagree with me, I'm still on the right path. Right. Is what I love.
And
about
I know that. And I know that
life.
You don't do this because you want personal recognition. But at the end of the day, with my line of work as well in radio, and I don't do it for the recognition. But when it is recognized that you are doing a good job and that you are,
I don't know who the hell you are, but I want personal recognition. I don't like that. I don't go out to dinner too often with my customers because I don't want to think that.
Right.
I don't need that. The thank you was very impactful. Patty Wilson, Patty's Playhouse, now on iTunes. Patty with a Y apostrophe S Playhouse.
Check it out.
Playhouse podcast, Patty with a Y apostrophe S Playhouse, now on iTunes, Google Play.
On iTunes?
Working on getting on the others. It ain't easy.
It ain't easy.
You might have to pay somebody to do that.
Being cheesy.
You know, buddy? Seriously, you got to use the hosting site. It's got to be all perfect. And, you know, there's only so much Patty can do. But we're just doing the podcast. It's an after party. So we're just kind of riffing it, Angus and I, because it's going to be probably what it is. Scott wants to take some time off. He's selling a lot of houses. This is a big commitment.
This
can't
radio
be a hobby.
Thing. It's huge.
Can't be a hobby. It's really important to me. So I was going on this Sign Up Genius, and there's some really cool questions that they end up asking on Facebook, right?
Oh, really?
So what is your favorite family vacation?
That I've ever had?
Mm-hmm, ever.
Wow.
Quick, we only have 11 minutes. Let's go.
That's difficult. I would say probably the family vacation that I took when I was 15 with my dad, my stepmom, and my sister when we all went to Australia as a family.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, because most of the time, they're not able to, you know, owning a small business like they had, they weren't able to go with us.
So that was the one?
Yeah, really good time.
We used to, once a year, my core family lived in Pennsylvania. My parents' extended family lived in Kentucky. And we'd take 7 days sitting in the back of a station wagon and drive to Kentucky. It was 12 hours.
Nice.
Now it's a 9-hour trip.
Oh, wow.
because they changed Rose. But that was it. That's what I remember. So that would probably be it. What motivates you to work hard, Angus? Because you work a lot.
I do. I do work
a lot. You probably work close to too much. Because you're working all the time at Central E.
Mm-hmm.
You help me. You help the other radio hosts mm-hmm. here at Freedom 93.
Yep.
You have the morning show.
Yes, I do.
What's your motivation?
I want to be successful. That's my motivation.
What defines success?
See, that's hard. That is hard. I don't know. I don't know what I would define my personal vision of success is. I kind of just point myself in one direction and just keep going until I do the right thing or until, you know, otherwise I feel that it's not the right thing. I just know that if there's been one thing that's been ingrained in me by my parents, my grandparents, people that have touched me in my life in terms of just other family members and friends of my parents, you just got to work hard. You got to work hard. Whatever you do, you have to put in that effort. You have to be able to live with yourself. And that's personally what I feel about it. At the end of the day, I really, really enjoy the feeling of going home exhausted. I really enjoy that feeling. And it's not because I enjoy being tired. It's just because I know that I've put in work, that I've, at least in whatever I'm doing, whether it be radio or whether I'm working at Centrale,
Central E.
But, you know, my main motivation, my main focus in life is just working as hard as I possibly can and improving myself. That's really, is never being stagnant in my personal life.
Mine is the same. I am unique in my family. I'm a family of seven. And when I'm on a mission, when I've decided I'm going to do something,
you do it.
Not my husband, not mm-hmm. my children, not the agents that work with me, nobody can stop me. And it's a challenge for them to watch.
Yeah. Sometimes
and
it is, but
they're like, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. Leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I'm doing what I'm doing. And that is isolating in a way, but also rewarding in a way. I don't know why. I wish I could be more gregarious as I do it and nicer about it. I am not.
Yeah.
When I'm on a route to do what I want to do, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Like to help a customer get a house.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I think about.
Most definitely.
To plan the show. It's the only thing I think about.
Mm-hmm.
And success for me is, it would be great if everyone knew my name.
Yeah.
But then again, people tear you down when everyone knows your name.
Right.
I think the reward is the movement through it.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, it's just the journey. I love the journey. I love the grind.
You're only 21. You do love the grind.
I embrace it.
I love the grind too.
It's just a part of life. And that's
now I'm going to go back to what we talked about in the beginning was Trump. And he loves what he does so much. He only sleeps 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, he needs more sleep or he's angry. I don't even really care what you think. This man is very successful in his own right. Always has been. A lot of people get $1 million from their daddy and blow it.
Yeah. Turn into nothing.
Not turn it into
a multi-billion dollar corporation.
Even if it's not even really his buildings, he sold his name because he could.
Yeah. Most definitely.
I mean, to be able to go and be able to say, I did what I wanted because I could.
Yeah.
And not really hurt people. You have to hurt some people along. You have to be able to let go and rebound.
Right.
And last night we heard William Floyd, does the call with Gene Deckerhoff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you've got to be able to rebound. You've got to be able to move forward.
And that's something that I've learned, you know, and I am only 21. I have very short actual life experience on my own. You know, I am.
And you do get emotional. You're an emotional person like I am.
Definitely. And, you know, that's something that I try to work on. And I
embrace my emotionality.
I do as
it
well.
It makes other people uncomfortable. And I'm learning that's your damn problem.
Right, right. Yeah.
I cry a lot. That's normal.
Yeah.
But you not crying is not my fault.
Yeah. No, definitely.
And I will cry all day.
I think the best.
I like
quality about an individual is being unapologetic about who you are. You know, at the end of the day, you are who you are for a reason. You know, it's been many, many life experiences that have shaped you into the individual that you are. And why would you try and change that?
We're both very authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one reason why we get along.
Yeah, definitely.
Is because there's no bullshit.
No, there can't be.
Or who do you like and who don't you like and who do you want to hang with?
The biggest thing that I hate in personal relationships that I have in my life is feeling like I have to walk on eggshells. That's the worst. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And
I ditto on that.
I'm already, you know, somewhat of an anxious person just from the beginning. And that kind of relationship, you know, it just, it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me not fully myself.
I'm quick to make changes in my life, which also makes people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going to go down a road, if I'm going to drive to Kentucky and I decide I'm not going to go through Birmingham, I'm going to make that change. Mm-hmm. We were talking with John, who's on, the station manager now for Freedom 93. He's like, I like how quickly you make changes. That makes people feel very uncomfortable when you're close to me.
Right.
Because
they don't see the vision that you have in your brain.
And anxiety is caused by not knowing.
Right.
So if you're in a plane, you're anxious because you don't know if you're going to land or not. That's right. The anxiety.
Right.
If you're driving a car and you're nervous about going over a bridge, you're anxious because you don't know if you're going to fall in the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The anxiety only comes from the not knowing. And until you embrace that, you're going to be anxious.
Yeah, most definitely.
And you'll just grow with that.
I always try to work on, you know, something that I feel like I personally struggle with is patience. That's definitely something that I've had to catch myself on.
Do you know what my
times.
Patience level is statistically?
What?
0 asterisks. I have none.
You have none.
And I embrace it now because I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that most truly successful people have no patience. They're able to look at a situation and make a quick decision and move forward. And then if that doesn't work, they're able to rebound, make another decision and move forward. It's the folks that can't make the decision, that are mired in the concrete of the decision, that do not become successful. That's why if you look at the DISC, which I study, it's DISC. That's the behavioral, you know, you can have combinations, but it's the driver, influential, stable, or the compliant, the more analytical. I'm a DC, but my D, when I'm stressed out, D is very high.
Right.
C lowers a little bit, but I have no S.
Mm.
I have no stability. None. Zero. None. No patience. But that's why people hire me.
Yeah.
They want somebody who's going to get them through.
Mm-hmm.
If you want patience, go to the library.
Right. Right.
They're going to be all patient all day.
That is true.
But if you want somebody who's going to help you make a decision and carry you through a problem, which is another reason why I like Trump.
Yeah.
That's my problem with Jimbo.
Yeah.
He cannot make a decision.
Right.
And I don't understand that. How do you get to this level and you can't effing make a decision?
Yeah. It's tough. It is
tough. Trump makes a decision. I'm going to fire Mueller and I'm going to take the heat for it and we're all going to be better. Did he explain it well? Not at all. However, he made the decision. You know what? You did this with Hillary. You're out.
Mm. And never say.
And most people cannot understand that thinking because the average D is like 5% or less of the population. S and Cs are much higher in the population. So the S's don't understand. The stable people don't understand the high driver, pyramid builder, the Templar. They don't understand us. And so that's why people like myself can be misunderstood. People like yourself, as you grow in your career, will be misunderstood. So you have to find I hate to call it an elevator speech because it's cliche, but some sort of thing to help explain to people that I'm carrying you through.
Right. Look,
and
I mean,
so I'm carrying you through.
And I'm sure that you feel very similar to me in this regard, but personal relationships in general are everything to me. They're the reason I believe I exist on this planet, is to be able to interact with fellow human beings. And sometimes it doesn't always go well, but at the end of the day, the people that I've been able to be surrounded with in my life, I am blessed.
And as you age, you're going to learn that you're going to have a core group, and you better keep that core group really tight, because that's what goes. So this is Patty's Playhouse. Patty with a Y apostrophe S, Playhouse, now on iTunes.
Check it out.
And it's a podcast, and this is who we are, Patty and Angus.
We'll be back
Bye.
Next week.
Next week. Thank you.
See you guys.